T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Fair. From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show, named Best Radio Show in the Wisconsin Broadcasters Awards for Excellence. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
Good day, Bill Michaels Show on the air. I'm Bill Michaels, Radio Joe across. We are having a good one today. Hopefully you are as well. If you want to get a hold of us on Twitter, @Bill_Michaels. @Bill_Michaels or @RadioJoeSports. @Bill_Michaels or @RadioJoeSports. You can find us there. Find us over on the Facebook fan page, simply Facebook.com, The Bill Michaels Show. Just go to BillMichaelsSports.com. There's the Radio.com app. Plenty of ways to be a part of the program now. And let's do this. Let's bring him in, Adam McAlvey of Brewers.com and MLB.com.
Best Brewers coverage. This is The Bill Michaels Show. Now, let's get the latest on the crew from insider Adam McAlvey. Brought to you by Concordia Veterans Services. Preparing vets to make an impact within their next mission through education. Find out more at cuw.edu/veterans.
Adam McAlvey of Brewers.com and MLB.com now joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Hello, Adam. How you doing?
Hello, Bill. Doing good. Doing well.
We were talking last week about the upcoming road trip, and so far, not bad. I mean, when you look at the overall wins and loss totals, when you're talking about teams over 500, because for a while it was, well, they're only beating up on the Cincinnati's and the Miami's, but now they're getting it done against Colorado and obviously the first game against the Diamondbacks. But two things I want to start out with. First and foremost, Ryan Braun last night, some back issues. What do we know? Anything in particular?
That it's not the exact same issue that's sidelined him before. It's something a little different. So that may be a little more concerning that it's a new ailment. We know that this is just going to be ongoing. This is where he's at in his career. This is why they have the basically four guys for three spots. I don't expect this to go away. I think there's just going to be days where he's in the lineup, and then all of a sudden he's not because he's got some kind of physical thing going on. It's just the new normal for him.
And then last night we had questions. We had a couple of callers that talked about Ed Cedar down at third base with Pena, not sending him in early on in the ball game, and then obviously that quick ground ball down to third in which then Pena took off and got thrown out. Was that a go-on-contact type of play, or was that something that was a delay, or talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, that looked like contact, which always makes everybody upset when it doesn't work, and then sort of doesn't stand out as much when it does work. And it's, you know, when it does work, it's a run scoring ground out, and no one talks about the third base coach. I don't know. To me, we've asked counsel about this before. He said they're going to be aggressive. That Ed Cedar has been instructed to be, this wasn't an Ed Cedar last night, but just I'm talking generally now. Ed Cedar has been instructed to be aggressive. And, the way they're going as an offense so far, it makes a little bit of sense to be aggressive in spots because you're not getting a lot of hits. Now, I'll say one of the things about this trip that's happening is they're scoring runs. It's at least five. They've won four or five. They've scored at least five runs in all of those victories. They got shut out then in the other game. And that was against a lefty, Kyle Freeland. So I think it was, to score some runs. They got a couple of runs off of Patrick Corbin, who's really good for the D-backs. But then to win a game against a lefty starter, I think is big. They've not – that's one of the things quietly going on this year with this offense is they're not producing against lefties. They're near the bottom of baseball in OPS against left-handed pitchers. And when you look around this lineup, it makes sense. Ryan Braun's not done nearly what's been expected. Domingo Santana's come on, even before this road trip, probably on the last homestand. but his numbers are way down. Arcia's numbers are way down. Pena's coming on now. I think he's just got his health back. But some of these right-handed hitters who produced offense for you last year are not this year. And it is, you know, it's leading to some trouble against lefties. So that was another thing that happened yesterday. I thought that was, you know, a little bit notable as you try to look forward. But look, I still think they're going to be aggressive in sending guys, and it's going to lead to some outs at the plate. And it's not because Ed Cedar is a bad third base coach. It's because that's what they're trying to do.
The other injuries, I want to talk about Jimmy Nelson real quick. Is he still on target at the end of the month or the beginning of next month?
I don't know. I mean, I don't think that is a target. I don't know. I mean, he's still in the flat ground, 150 feet. Every now and then I do an update, and it's kind of the same. And they knew that this final stage of flat ground was going to be the long one. The next stage is getting up on a mound. And once he gets up on a mound, that's when you can know when he's going to – that's when you can map it. You can't map it right now because you don't know when he's going to get on a mound. So every time, you know, we ask, and there's no setback, there's no – they say he's still ahead of what the schedule should have been when he went into this. There's no, you know, there's no problems going on. You see, if you're in the clubhouse, Jimmy Nelson is like, you know, bathed in sweat every day. He's working out. It's kind of like a running joke that, oh, Jimmy's working out again. What a shocker. So he's doing the things he needs to do, but he just needs to clear that hurdle where, you know, he's got enough arm strength to get back up on a mound, and it's not there as far as we know, unless this secretly happened yesterday amid all the other stuff going on. It hasn't happened yet, but I think he's getting there, and every week or 2 weeks I ask and just kind of make sure we're not missing anything that he's getting past this flat ground stage.
So with this team, offensively speaking, we know that, you know, some guys, we went over the numbers a little while ago. I mean, you know, got some guys that are starting to have pretty decent years when you start to look at the numbers. If they get all the way through the end of May, some of the guys that you thought, well, they need questionable seasons coming in, that they're going to be a little bit better. Guy like VR starting to hit the ball. Things are looking good. Kane, obviously, is having a good season. So is a guy like Yelich. What concerns you right now offensively? Does Pena still concern you in all of this? Does Domingo Santana, who was not hitting the cover off the ball for a while, that he's finally starting to come back a little bit? Is he feeling good? I mean, what concerns you right now?
You know, that lefty thing stands out right now is a number that they're going to have to improve. But that's going to come with Domingo Santana performing better. If Arcia can get some hits, that would help that. You know, I think I don't sense a great deal of alarm about what's happening offensively. I think have viewed it as, if given time, this group will come around. I mean, I still think second base is the one where if you want to add, that's the spot where you add, because you just don't have anyone entrenched right there. And with Mauricio Dubon out, you don't have a prospect, you know, a real kind of an impact prospect ready to come up. So I don't sense that they're alarmed about the offense. I think they think that give it time, get the warm. We've all seen what happens at Miller Park once it starts to get nice out. Let that sort of happen. And some of these guys who are off to slow starts, it's been kind of individual positions off to slow starts. And a lot of those guys have been at the bottom of the lineup. Give them time and they'll get going. And we've kind of seen that on this road trip in Colorado. Was it the first game? They got a lot of production at the bottom of the order from RC and those guys. And then last night, again, it was the bottom of the order that produced their first rally, kind of an odd rally where the Diamondbacks had VR picked off and they just let him go to second base because Manny Pena was at third. And then RC cashed in with a double with first base open and the pitcher coming up. So, you know, that's the kind of thing that they're probably talking about here on sports radio in Phoenix this morning.
Mm-hmm.
But for the Brewers, it turned into a positive because it's a contribution in Arcia, a guy who's not looked good. He's not looked comfortable. He's not looked aggressive at the plate. It was, you know, sort of a chance for him to do a little bit of damage. And I think getting some offense at the bottom of the order would answer that. So, you know, the concern is overarching. They just need to score more runs. You know, they're still at the bottom. When I looked last night before the game, it was bottom four in Major League Baseball in runs per game. That number needs to come up for sure because this bullpen's going to go through a stretch where it's not this good, and they're going to give up some late runs. And the offense is going to have to win some games by hitting. And, you know, yesterday the team didn't give up a lot of runs, but those late runs by this Brewers offense, I think, was really encouraging for Craig Counsell.
When you talk about encouraging, look, Aguilar has played extremely well. Thames is eventually going to come back. What are you going to do when Thames comes back? And the argument here, I mean, what many people are talking about is it's time to move Ryan Braun out of the three hole, move him down the lineup. But what are you going to do when Thames is ready to come back and Aguilar's hitting .313? You've got Eric Thames, who's, even though he's .250, he's a legitimate power threat. And then you've got a guy that's struggling that's making $20 million a year. What are they going to do? Do you know?
Well, I mean, I think you just deal with that when you get to it, because if we've learned anything about this team so far this season, is that your best laid plans kind of go to waste when injuries pop up. I mean, how many times has it happened that we've sweated these log jams and then here comes something that completely answers the question? And I would say Eric Thames' injury is one of those in opening regular playing time for Jesus Aguilar. So I don't think it does any good to sweat what's going to happen down the line when you don't know what the configuration of this team's going to be. They've dealt with a lot of injuries so far this season. And I know last year, if you think about it, they had Junior Guerra go down in the third inning on opening day. They lost Ryan Braun early. But when you think about this year, you know, Knebel, they've lost their top two. Their number one starting pitcher right now is Jolie Chassin, who pitches tonight, because Davies and Anderson are down. And they've just had, between injuries and illness and little weird things, they've had a tremendous number of little hurdles to overcome and cover. And, you know, here they are, a quarter of the season in the books, and the Brewers and the Atlanta Braves, of all teams, have the best record in the National League. So I don't know. I think if the first 6 weeks have taught us anything, it's that don't sweat decisions like that until you got to make them.
I agree with that, because they've said this before. When we were down in spring training, sometimes these things take care of themselves and they don't have to worry about it. But, you know, again, you know, I know it's a day by day thing with Ryan Braun in that back. I mean, is there something else bothering him? Has it been the back? Has there been other things bothering him this season, or is he just struggling?
Well, the calf has been, I think, the big one this season. That right calf has been off and on bothering him. You know, the back is an issue. He had surgery, you know, what, two off seasons ago, was it? Three off seasons ago. So ever since that, they've really done a lot of, you know, you always see him wrapped up with heat before games, and he's always getting that back worked on. That's just a maintenance thing. Look, I still think the equation for Ryan Braun is simple, and I've said this to you before, Bill. Simpler for Ryan Braun than any other player I've ever covered. When he's healthy, he's good. When he's not healthy, he's not good. And, you know, to some extent, that's true for everybody. My eyes say that is truer of Ryan Braun than anybody else I've ever seen. And he's been banged up again this year. And, you know, it's not for a lack of preparation. It's, you know, people blame the training staff. And David Stern said, with all these injuries, you know, they're looking at it. The soft tissue stuff, you know, you feel like that's maybe a little preventable. Is that preparation? But I know for a fact with Ryan Braun, it is not preparation. It's just that he's 34 years old. And this happens to some baseball players who are 34 years old. And I don't know that you're going to be able to get around it, or at least plan for it not being an issue. I think you just have to have in your head that he's just going to miss games. He's going to miss some games. And you try to get him healthy for as many games as you can. They've invested in him financially. I don't think they're just going to cut ties with that. I mean, I think he's going to be a part of this team, just not as big a part of the team. You mentioned the you know, where he hits in the order. That is something to think about at some point, especially if he can't get healthy. But you know, I don't know when the right point is to do that, because then he'll come out and have a great game and look like Ryan Braun again, and then you think you want him in that three hole. So the whole situation is very, very tricky for Craig Counsell, given Braun's history in the organization, what he's produced in his past, what he still looks capable of producing, the way opposing teams, you know, approach him in a way that makes it, you know, obvious that they view him as still dangerous. It's just this is where Craig Counsell is kind of earning his bucks, because this is for us, it's easy to say, well, punt him, drop him in the order, you release him, all that stuff. I mean, that's an oversimplification. And when you're actually making those decisions, it's a little more difficult.
Always good stuff, my friend, and we will talk again down the road next week, okay?
All right. See you
appreciate though. It, pal. Talk to you soon. There you go. Adam McAvey of Brewers.com and MLB.com joining us for a couple of minutes on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard. They treat you fair. 80-plus years. They may get it done. Call them 844-PRIDE. Go to SchneiderJobs.com. More of the Bill Michaels Show. Hearing from Craig Counsell. Coming up next.
You're listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Let the good times roll. And I want these words to make things right. But it's the wrongs that make the words come to life. But who does he think he is? If that's the worst you got, better put your fingers back to the key.
Good day to you. Welcome. This portion of the program being brought to you by Marshfield Clinic Health System. The ones who fixed my knee up, took the pain away, they can do the same for you. You don't have to live with pain anymore. Something orthopedically you need to get done, don't put it off any longer. Maybe they can get you home in as little as a day. You're hearing me right. Call them 855-MC-ORTHO. That's Marshfield Clinic, 855-MC-ORTHO. Or you can go to marshfieldclinic.org. That's marshfieldclinic.org. And check out the physicians, the services, the locations, everything they have to offer. But it is worth a phone call. 855-MC-ORTHO. 855-MC-ORTHO. And check them out for yourself. The official healthcare provider of yours truly. Craig Counsell says, last night, big win in the desert.
This is a very good baseball team. Tough to beat them. We're at their place. So, good start to the series where we did the job.
Real good start to the series, and they keep winning on the road trip against teams that are over 500. So that's the big thing, and he says that VR, some quality at-bats in this win.
I thought he gave Arcia a good kind of tutorial on what he was going to see and allowed Arcia to get a breaking ball up to get the base hit. So he had a big game tonight for us for sure.
Without a doubt he did. VR had a nice one last night, also talking on the fastball being key for Guerra.
And it was a good fastball. It was a very good fastball tonight. There was a bunch of 95s up there. So probably his best fastball tonight. And, he just didn't feel great with the split at times. So he stuck with the fastball and did a nice job with it.
Gary had a really nice outing last night. He continues to pitch well since he's come back. I mean, that's been one of the impressive things. So we keep talking. I mean, you listen to all the national pundits and they all keep saying, well, the Brewers are going to need another arm. They have to have another arm. And it hasn't been the arms that have been problematic for this team. It's been the bats going silent at times or hitting with runners in scoring position. So, while I want to say I agree and they got to get that other third starter, that second starter, but for the most part, it's been the bats and they've gotten some good pitching and their bullpen has been absolutely fantastic. Corey Knebel was going to close before the insurance runs last night.
It looked like it was kind of going to script as I was hoping to get two from Josh and then Corey was going to close it out. And, Tyler hits the inside the Parker. Luckily, we were able to get Taylor ready.
And then you got Braun with the update on the back stiffness.
It's different, but it's a back thing again. So, we're day to day with it.
And that's not the most encouraging thing when you talk about day-to-day. Hey, wait, last year, and I want to get to the hot stick of the game, but last year, don't forget, VR hit 241. 241, a down year. People were down on him last night going 3-for-4. 3 runs scored, an RBI in the evening, 1 strikeout. Now hitting 282. 282, a 331 on-base percentage for Jonathan VR, who last night was your Clements hot stick. And the Clements Milwaukee, the hometown sausage company. Clements, the hometown company, proud to support many area community projects for decades now, home to people in the production of, the hot sticks. Clements snack sticks, they're convenient, high-protein choice, fits and goes with any lifestyle. Trips to the ballpark, snacks between games, golf bag, lunches, you name it, they've got it. That is the hot stick of the night. That goes to Jonathan VR, brought to you by our friends at Clements, Clements Sausage. There you have it. 855-830-8648. 855-830-8648. That's on the loansbykip.com toll-free talk line. We'll get, by the way, I got a couple of people that that brought up some stuff with the Packers when we were talking about the weaponry for the Packers. We'll get back into that, I promise. We'll get back into that coming up here in just a little bit. When we come up next, a couple of different things I want to talk about. We're going to talk with Brett Smiley. He's from sportshandle.com. Remember yesterday, the Supreme Court passed down that ruling that the government did not have the ability to regulate whether or not states could or could not have sports betting. And I want to find out what that's going to mean for, well, states in general, and then obviously I want to look closer right here in our own backyard and to some of the thought process as you start to go through something like this. And then something incredibly special is going to go up on auction. We're going to talk about coming up in about 15, 20 minutes from now, something incredibly special going up on auction. And whether or not you or anybody you know may end up with this thing before it's all said and done. Don't forget, coming up after the top of the hour as well, Henry Ellenson, Detroit Pistons power forward, former Marquette Golden Eagle. He's going to be joining us as well. And at about an hour from now, bottom of the hour, next hour, Eric Baranchek of the Green Bay Press Gazette. We're going to chat with him about the exact topic that we had earlier, and that is with Aaron Rodgers and the weaponry around him and whether or not this team should or should not go after Dez Bryant. As you heard earlier, Jason Witten, now with ESPN and the Monday Night Broadcast, former Dallas Cowboy tight end, believes that Dez Bryant coming to Green Bay would be a very, very good thing. Stay tuned. When we come back, I'm going to talk with Brett Smiley from sportshandle.com. As the Supreme Court yesterday shot down a law that did not allow the states to make their own decisions when it comes to sports betting, what is it going to mean for Wisconsin? Stay tuned. Coming up next on the Bill Michaels Show.
Border to border, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Clowns to the left, jokers to the right, counting on the rest of us to come and take a bite. But I'll wait it out, call it superstition. I'll be fine for now, just reminiscing, cause I'm all out of chance.
Welcome back. Bill Michaels Show continues. We are glad to have you. Thanks so much. As always, we certainly appreciate you hanging out with us today. This portion of the program being brought to you by our friends at Cousin Subs. I want to remind you at Cousin Subs that don't forget, they want to send you to the big gig and make you a VIP. Enter the big gig giveaway from Cousin Subs and Summerfest to win a VIP concert package, including tickets, parking pass, gift cards, and a whole lot more. Enter daily, my friends, at CousinSubs.com/Big Gig Giveaway. Enter daily at CousinSubs.com/Big Gig Giveaway. Cousin Subs, where they believe in better, the official sub sandwich of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Glad to have you here today. It's a Cousin Subs kind of day. How are we looking? Let's do this. Yesterday, in case you didn't get a chance to hear it, the Supreme Court shot down a ruling from years ago that basically took the power out of the state's hands to have gambling, sports betting, basically. And yesterday, all of a sudden, states perked up and smiled, specifically New Jersey and many others, to say, hey, we're ready for this. We're ready to make our own money, possibly as much as $8 billion, as reported by New Jersey, could then come into the tax base. So to talk a little bit more about this and the ramifications, from sportshandle.com, Brett Smiley joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Brett, how are you doing today?
Doing great. Good to be with you.
Thank you so much for coming by. What does this mean for states in general? Are we going to see basically open sports book like we see in Vegas now?
In some states, yes. There's by the end of this year, you'll see six or seven states with legal sports betting, Nevada style. Obviously, New Jersey is going to be out in front. The way it's going to go with a lot of the legislation we're seeing is that the existing brick-and-mortar casinos and some states' riverboats, they'll be the ones getting the license, and from there, they'll offer online and apps so people can bet from their phones.
What about the whole discussion? We got into this discussion yesterday about, well, the brick-and-mortars may go away if you've got all these kiosks inside. Like, you know, Adam Silver from the NBA wants to see them inside the arenas where you can actually go bet on quarters or go bet on the game itself and such. Do we see something like that happening, or is this still going to be more mostly brick-and-mortar where you have to actually physically go and have a presence in the venue?
It'll be a combination of being at a sportsbook in the casino, and they're also going to have the ability to create mobile apps. In Nevada right now, the majority of wagers are coming in on mobile phones, or maybe it's about even. As far as kiosks, those exist in United Kingdom and maybe some other places in Europe. I don't foresee that happening. I don't think any of the leagues want to get quite that close. But also in Nevada right now, at Golden Knights games, in Las Vegas. People have their mobile phones. They're able to wager from there. So this is definitely a boon to existing brick-and-mortar casinos. I don't see them getting any less foot traffic as a result of this.
So how much money are we talking here on average, do you think, is going to be gambled in different states? And in addition to that, so because some people, at least gamblers, are concerned, if you got the government involved and they start setting lines to make it more profitable for them, is that really going to take away the corner bookie, so to speak, because people are suddenly allowed to gamble within their own state? Or do things change? I mean, you know, are they going to hire guys like you to start setting lines all over the place? I mean, how do you see the industry changing?
Well, what this really means is that each state is going to be free to set up their operations and license certain casinos how they see fit. They're going to need to figure out what is a workable tax rate. They can't tax it too high, otherwise they'll make it difficult for operators to compete with the black market, which is not going to go away, at least not anytime soon. And a lot of the properties that are going to get licensed in a variety of states, they're owned and operated by Nevada-based corporations who are experienced in this. They're probably going to shift some of their resources. They have experienced directors in there. Those will be the ones setting the lines. It really won't do the states any good to offer a bad product to consumers that'll force them to stay in the black market. But the main takeaway is that states and citizens, will have the opportunity to do this now.
My assumption is for your business, this is a boon because there's going to be more and more people now seeking out advice, correct?
Correct, yeah. It was a good day in the Smiley household yesterday. a couple laps around and some shouting. And, you know, for such a long time, this law was a quarter century old. It's been stigmatized, but at the same time, fully embraced. There's segments on ESPN that discuss sports betting. You have Al Michaels making the reference here and there. It's already full-fledged in Nevada, so it's just nice to see that people who enjoy sports betting, plunking down a few bucks on Monday Night Football, will have the opportunity now.
Why was this law enacted to begin with, in your opinion?
It was enacted not long after the Pete Rose scandal, in which he was betting on games that he was managing. There was also some point-shaving scandals in recent history, and going back to the 60s when the Wire Act was passed, it was thought that sports betting was dominated largely by the mob and mafia. So it has always had that connection. And here in the U.S., it just kind of got that stigma. And the legislation that was passed had the backing of the leagues, and that kind of froze in time where sports betting was in 1992.
By the way, we're talking with Brett Smiley from sportshandle.com. So for shows like there's a guy named Pharrell. I mean, everybody knows Scott Pharrell. I mean, his business would then boom because of something like this. It already has. I mean, he's been very good at what he does, but people are going to be looking for more and more advice when it comes to sports betting. The opposite side of the coin is people say, well, oh my goodness, this is going to lead to addiction and there's going to be more homeless. And all they see is the catastrophic worst. Is there any statistical information or analysis to suddenly back that up?
Yeah, no doubt. There are some people that maybe aren't betting right now that are going to be exposed with it and perhaps struggle with it. That's for sure. A lot of those people are already wagering offshore where, they're not terribly concerned with responsible gaming. We offer some of that information. We've interviewed doctors and somebody who used to run a program. So people and their families definitely want to, look out for any signs. But it's, to me, I mean, we're comfortable right now with people doing scratch-off tickets with, using some savings for the lottery, going to a casino and pumping money into slot machines, which over time you're going to lose. I'm of the mind that people enjoy sports betting in tremendous quantities, and certainly there's concern for people who might be prone to addiction, but that's the case with anything.
Real quick before I let you go as well, In the talks of all of this, I know that there's some racetracks, horse tracks and such that are already, talking about adding this sports betting that's going to be there right away. So do you see like a resurgence in some of these places? Like this is going to be a big boon for some of these other businesses that were struggling to get by for such a long period of time, such as horse tracks?
It's absolutely going to help horse tracks. You know, if they have sports betting, assuming they do it wisely and set their lines correctly, they're going to boost profits. But it's not going to be a panacea. I mean, horse racing handle, the amount of wagering has been going down steadily. That industry has some problems it's got to solve. This will definitely be a jolt, a source of revenue, but I don't know how much of the younger generation is really engaged with sports betting. So that's numero uno.
How do they regulate it when it's on the web?
Kind of like Daily Fantasy now. You know, you have to do geo-tracking. So if you're in somebody in Wisconsin is not going to be able to use the sports book that's based in Iowa or Illinois. So that technology is pretty savvy right there.
Okay, just because I know that there's some people saying, well, what if I'm traveling, yet I'm based out of Wisconsin, and is it just strictly the IP address of geo-tracking? Is there other – I mean, I'm not as savvy when it comes to that kind of thing, but I would assume that they're tracking IP addresses of where their base is.
Correct. The geo-fencing is there's not going to be a way around that, but I suppose the benefit is with the increasing amount of states that are going to be offering wagering, say you're traveling and you're in a different state and want to plunk down $10, it should be as simple as just going to their website and registering.
Well, it's going to be interesting. About how soon? I mean, you said 7 or 8 states this year by the end of the year are going to be up and running. I mean, I've already seen reports that New Jersey said, hey, by Memorial Day, we're going to have everything in place. We're ready to go. But at what point do we fully see this throughout the country, so to speak? I mean, I'm sure there's going to be a few states that are going to say, we really don't want it. Maybe those that were reluctant to get the lotteries in early on might say the same thing. But how soon before you think just about every state has this enacted?
Yeah, and we've got a tracker on the website where people can check out where every state is at. By the end of this year, you're going to see 5, 6, maybe 7 states that have legalized and have casinos and racetracks that are offering it in person and mobile. That's Pennsylvania, West Virginia have already legalized. Mississippi is going to be ready to go. New Jersey, of course. I think by the end of the year, New York and Michigan will be on board, and probably by the end of next year, it could be another 10 or a dozen states. There's just been a wild amount of conversation, hearings about sports betting, and states see it as a source of revenue. It's activity that's already occurring, welcomed, encouraged by the leagues. So, yeah, this the ruling was a really watershed moment, and no pun intended, a game changer.
There you go. Brett, appreciate the information. Thanks for updating us, okay?
My pleasure. Take care, guys.
Appreciate it. There you go. Brett Smiley on sportshandle.com. That's sportshandle.com. You can read his stuff there. And it was a landmark decision. I mean, I don't know how else to put it. I mean, some people say, why is it a landmark? Well, it's because states were not able to create their own power when it comes to sports betting and gambling in that sense. And now it's basically wide open. It's what you want to do, and it's what your constituency wants. And then again, I said last night in the piece that I put out on many of the stations, this is going to come down to the almighty buck, as it has all the time. I mean, it's going to come down to how much revenue can they generate. What other services, where can they put the money? And this is where I encourage many of you to get involved, because with a lot of these other, remember when it was supposed to be the lottery was pretty much for, say, education, and suddenly, you know, there wasn't enough money coming in, and then education was being cut and cut and cut and cut. This is where you should say, this is a brand new stream of revenue, and keep your eye on it. Watch where it goes. Is it going to be infrastructure? Is it going to be police, fire? Is it going to be education, which I think is probably one of the most important things you can probably sink money into? And the fact that they cut it every year is absolutely positively ridiculous. But, see where the money goes. Follow the money. Be as upset about this when it comes to the spending of money as you would be as if they were, say, going to put a tax in place and then end up buying a new arena. I mean, because that's where people tend to get up in arms about it and don't even know what's going on, yet you want to get, have something like this pass and go, okay, we're just generating new revenue. Get involved. Get involved. I highly encourage it. 855-830-8648. If you ever want to chime in, feel free to do it. This portion of the program being brought to you by New Mail Medical, treating guys with ED all throughout the state of Wisconsin, well beyond the borders as well. Don't forget, they have a 98% success rate, New Mail does. And if it's low T, they can help you out there, whether it's kind of feeling fatigued or maybe the mental brain fog, so to speak. They can help you out. They help me. They can help you. It does work, and I swear by this stuff. And then there's the All-in-One Weight Loss Program, which, yes, that works as well. T-shirt season, we know it's around the corner. Mid-70s all week after this. So you're going to start getting warm. You're going to start taking off the pullovers and all that kind of stuff, getting into the T-shirts, and you want to look decent doing it. Jumpstart the health and fitness program but simply by calling 414-455-4451, 414-455-4451. That's the Neumel Medical Center. It's up for auction. Are you bidding? More of the Bill Michaels Show coming up next.
16 stations strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Why you wanna tell me how to live my life?
Welcome back, Bill Michaels Show on the air. It is coming, and it's going to be out in Madison, and we can't wait. We're looking forward to it. It is our first annual, well, for this year anyway. Second time we've done it. We did it last year. It's our first one this year. Thursday night, June 7th, the cigar dinners are back by Tobacco Outlet Plus and Perdomo Cigars, putting them on again this year, and we're having a great time. Kicking it off right, so to speak. Wisconsin Brewing Company, 1079 American Way in Verona, 1079 American Way in Verona. You get, with your ticket, by the way, a couple of drinks, dinner, four cigars, that's it. Only 50 tickets available, so you get them quick. If you're going to come with a couple people, get everybody together and go get your tickets. The Wisconsin Brewing Company, 1079 American Way, Thursday night, June 7th. Sign in about 5:30. 5:30 to 6:30, the cocktail hour, 6:30 on. Dinner, which is catered by Wood Barbecue, about 7:30, 8-ish. You got the raffle. We're going to do a Q&A, some storytelling. It's going to be a fun time. Plus, you get a chance to kick back a cigar if you want to. If you don't, that's fine. If you don't want to smoke cigars, you don't have to. You can still come out and have a great night. But again, get the tickets at Tobacco Outlet Plus. That's one on North Sherman Avenue in Madison. North Sherman Avenue in Madison. Willow Road in Wanakee. And then the Quick Trip on County Road PB in Verona. Those are the locations to get the tickets. Otherwise, outside of the area, go to Quick Trip, KWIK, quicktrip.com to find out more information. But the cigar dinners are back. They're presented by Tobacco Outlet Plus, Perdomo Cigars, and this is going to be a good one. Thursday night, June 7th, get your tickets. Get them in a hurry. It's up for auction. Small piece of Green Bay Packer history. The Super Bowl history. Going to be up for auction later this week in Indianapolis. Bart Starr's 1967 Super Bowl MVP Chevy Corvette Stingray. It's available through the, I think, is it Mecum or Mercom Auctions? It's at the Indianapolis State Fairgrounds. It is a classic American sports car gifted over to Bart Starr after the Packers won the Super Bowl over Kansas City, the first Super Bowl, at the LA Memorial Coliseum. He completed 16 of 23, 253 yards, a couple of touchdowns, including the 37-yard touchdown opening score in the first quarter. The Packers went on to a 35-10 victory, and Starr was selected as the game's MVP. This thing is nice. They got a picture of it, actually, online, and it's as you would think, it's a green convertible Stingray, Corvette Stingray, 1967, with the red wall tires. It's the red pinstripe tires on it. I mean, everything just beautiful. But each member of the Packers roster was awarded $15,000 for winning the game. Starr, the Pro Football Hall of Famer, got the money and the car. And the vehicle was finished in Goodwood Green, they say, and features the documentation on the gas tank confirming Starr's original ownership. Starr, by the way, later sold the car in the 60s. Most recently, Michael Anderson of Thunder Valley Classic Cars restored the vehicle without sacrificing any of the original components unique to the Stingray convertible. He displayed the car at Lambeau Field during an event last year. And Bart Starr, the Super Bowl MVP for a second time a year later, was awarded another Corvette. That car, a red convertible, donated by Starr back in 1968. The Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers was gifted a Chevy Camaro and won the after winning the MVP back in Super Bowl XLB, if you remember. So there you go. So the quarterbacks are getting cars. But Bart Starr's original Corvette Stingray up for auction down in Indianapolis. Kind of nice. Maybe end up with it. Who knows? I wonder what that thing's going to go for. $200,000. I'm going to take a guess at it. It's going to go up for auction this week. So we'll take a guess. $200,000, $225,000, somewhere in there. See if it actually goes for that by the time it's all said and done. Coming up after the top of the hour, by the way, Henry Ellenson, the Detroit Piston for power forward, going to be here. Former Marquette Golden Eagle, he's going to join us. Also, the Bucks interviewing other coaches for a second time, including Budenholzer. Talk about that. Eric Baranchek of the Green Bay Press-Gazette is going to join us coming up in the bottom of the next hour as well. Going to get back into the Packers discussion. Are you comfortable with the weaponry around Aaron Rodgers? And in addition to that, in case you didn't know, Jason Witten from the NFL or from ESPN, who is now going to go into the sports broadcasting booth, going to be doing some Monday Night Football. In an interview with Adam Schefter on a podcast, he said that that Dez Bryant should end up in Green Bay. It would be a perfect win-win for both situations. Dez Bryant would play with a quarterback like Aaron Rodgers, and Aaron Rodgers would then have an additional weapon, a high point getter, so to speak, that he can throw the ball to. Do you agree? Is it a win-win? We'll ask Eric Baranchek of the Green Bay Press-Gazette coming up. Or what are the other priorities? Outside pass rusher, offensive line, as the Packers are going to be looking for some cuts to be made and have some money to spend, where are they going to spend that money? Or should they be spending that money on an additional wide receiver to give you some veteran depth backup? So we'll figure out where it all goes from there. So that's all coming up in the next hour. Stay tuned for that. And then we'll talk a little NBA in the last hour. The Cavs against Warriors goes off as planned, as many predicted even before the season got underway. Can this really be good for the NBA? In all honesty, we'll get into that discussion as well. We got a lot coming up. Stay tuned. Stay right there. More of the Bill Michaels Show coming up right after this.
Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.